Pippa Hudson. Lines are always open on 021 446 0567.
Well, speaking of wine, our listener Grant shared an article with me earlier this week that had left him quite outraged. And although it is a topic we've touched on before on Cape Talk, I think it is worth revisiting because it's an issue that's clearly not going away. And I'm talking here about the issue of restaurants charging wine producers to list their labels on their wine lists. The article Grant shared with me was from the website winemag.co.za, which this week shared some documents that had come into its possession, proving that at least some restaurant groups are still definitely charging these listing fees. And that site has been quite forthright in condemning the practice and calling on wine producers to refuse to pay those fees. Furthermore, it's urged them all to please expose and name and shame the groups who are asking for them so that members of the public can vote against the practice with their feet, as it were. Now, joining me on the line is international wine expert and writer Michael Fridgeon. Michael, great to have you with us. Thanks for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on board.
Obviously, it's not illegal per se, but it feels a bit like they're asking for a bribe to be paid to be included on a wine list. At the very least, it feels rather anti-competitive. What do you think?
It's anti-competitive. I keep wondering if it's not illegal, but I'm always told that if people pay for listings in supermarkets, you know, to have a gondola end, this is pretty much the same thing. The bottom line, of course, is that the restaurant surrenders control of its wine list to somebody who buys his way on. It means that consumers don't have the choice they're expecting to have, and considering that they're paying a couple of 100% markup in general for the privilege of being on that wine list, I think they would be outraged knowing what a bottle costs in a wine shop and then seeing what it costs in the restaurant, and then discovering that typically somewhere between 20 and 50,000 rand per listing period is paid by the producer. I mean, I have seen a spreadsheet of a restaurant in Johannesburg which, before it even opened its doors, had pulled R500,000 from the industry in listing fees.
Wow.
And the effect of that, as you can see, is certainly anti-competitive. And if it ever comes about that the anti-advertising legislation kicks in, then the people who have money to spend on advertising will be the ones who up the ante and go along to the restaurants and say, listen, guys, we've got a lot more budget to pay for our listings, and then we really won't have a choice.
Mm. How widespread is the practice, Michael? I mean, is it, would you say, common? Is it mainly in big chains or groups that own multiple restaurants and sort of leverage across multiple wine lists?
That's a good question. To the extent that I'm aware of it, and I'm obviously looking at it quite closely, it's prevalent throughout the chains. I'd be very surprised if any chain could come to me and say that they do not accept listing fees of any sort. So the chains are certainly the most guilty amongst those where there are two or three owners, or where there are high-profile restaurants, places we know in the waterfront, places where the tourists flock. Those are the ones where the wine list listing fees are certainly charged. I do know that there are a couple of really smart restaurants in Johannesburg, for example, that have held off and refused to take listing fees, and the trade, in fact, is quite frustrated because they're used to a checkbook as the means of gaining a listing on a high-profile wine list.
Of course, the problem is for the smaller winemaker who might have an absolutely outstanding quality wine that they'd like and that deserves to be listed on the very best wine lists. If they don't have the budget to throw at paying what is effectively a bribe to get onto them, it means they don't get the exposure, and obviously the customers don't get the delight of tasting those new wines.
Exactly. So, in fact, it undermines the future of the wine industry. Once again, especially in places where there are tourists, especially in places where the winery can obtain a degree of profile from that listing. So instead of the restaurant saying, listen, this is a symbiotic relationship between us as a platform for the new producers, for the artisanal guys who are making fabulous wines, they're saying, you know what, we're a gatekeeper. And if you don't pay for us to open the gate, you're not getting through it. Mm. And ultimately, it is going to contribute to the destruction of an industry which is already by more than 50% under-recovering on its actual running costs. It's actually appalling.
Mm. Michael, I'm interested to know. I mean, we've seen WineMag saying name and shame them. Let's call them out in public so that restaurant patrons know and can choose to boycott those restaurants if they want to. Has that made a difference in the past? I mean, we have seen some big restaurant chains named and shamed previously in this way. Does it make any difference? Is there anything that the actual customer can do to change this behavior?
I mean, it's a good question. I think naming and shaming is probably the best way forward. I remember that when there was an outcry over this a year or two ago, Ocean Basket came clean and said, we're not going to do it in future. So obviously there is a pressure point there which should be exploited. You can't expect the wineries to refuse to pay the bribe. If everybody is paying a bribe to get their ID book or their passport, you can't very well say, well, I'm going to be pure and live without my ID book. Mm. So I think the pressure surely should be brought onto those people who use them by making sure that the information of those who take listing fees is available in a public forum. That's what social media has done over the past and in other areas to transform the way that consumers engage with suppliers.
Michael Fridgeon, thanks so much for sharing those insights with us. International wine expert and wine writer, one of the foremost wine writers in the country, I should add. I want to find out from somebody who's recently opened a new restaurant to get a perspective from the restaurateur. Pete Goff Wood, great to have you with us again, and good afternoon.
Hey, Pip, good afternoon. Good afternoon to the listeners.
You were listening into Michael's comments there. Yes. Pete, first of all, as a restaurateur, have you ever asked for such a fee?
Never, never. I think it's an abhorrent practice, and I agree with everything that Michael said. I think it is the province of the larger chains, and that's why you end up with those kind of restaurants that have terrible, terrible wine lists, because there's no discernment in those lists. They literally are open up to whoever is prepared to pay for them is prepared to be listed. So you go along to these chains, and you might as well take your own wine with you, because you know the lists are going to be terrible, because it's a case of whoever will cough up the bucks gets on the list, and I think it's a terrible practice. And I think most privately owned restaurants don't do it, because you relinquish control as to what you put on your list. You know, the next thing you're going to start doing is that transfers to the food side of things and start saying, you know, we'll you know, pay us and we'll use your beef, or pay us and we'll use your fish. It's a you know, there must be some kind of integrity to a wine list. It's a reflection of the caliber of the institution. And as soon as you start charging a licensing fee, all sense of integrity is completely out of the window.
Pete, I mean, you've obviously just recently gone through the process of opening up a new restaurant with Bosch's, and that we spoke to you about a few weeks ago. What are the kinds of things that inform your selection of the wines? Talk to me about what should be informing the process rather than who's paid you to list them.
Well, specifically for Bosch's is a point in case. We only have wines that are produced in the Brutal Valley. So there is nothing outside of the Brutal Valley on our list at Bosch's, because we want to showcase what the valley has. It's a beautiful valley that doesn't. It's not the sexiest wine region in the country, and as a result, it often gets passed over. It has beautiful wine, so we took it upon ourselves to make sure that we only included local producers, because that's what we wanted. That's what we wanted our restaurant to be about. And I think the same holds for all good restaurants. You know, it's a reflection of you. You know, often what happens with and a lot of chefs and restaurateurs will tell you, a lot of their wine lists are put together relationally, you know, people you have relations with, wine farms who you've done work with in previous times. These are often ways to get wine lists together. Look, let's also be honest, you know, nothing for nothing. There's a lot of marketing collateral that gets used by wineries, you know, all the branded umbrellas and branded aprons. And, you know, so wineries are often sort of come to the party, if you will, but to simply do a listing. You know, if someone says, well, we've got waiters, and someone says, look, you know, we're going to give you 10 waiters friends, or we're going to put our label on your apron. Again, depends on the level of the kind of establishment you are. But you can't let that kind of stuff be determining what you do put on your list.